And welcome, everyone, to worship on this chilly spring day. It's not quite time to put winter clothes away, but it's good to see everyone here this morning. And we welcome Terry Budd to our service and her husband Dale, and we look forward to your message later on today. So we've got a big week coming up, getting ready for the fish fry, and Tom has already been doing that, getting things ordered and lined up. And let us keep that event in our prayers this week, that we have the strength and energy to do all the preparations, and that we have good weather and good attendance. Please join me in the call to worship. We have been walking, Lord,
on roads of uncertainty and fear, on roads of exhaustion and doubt,
on winding roads that have led us here. Join us on our journey, Lord. By your presence, refresh our spirits, set our hearts ablaze, and give us new direction. Amen. Okay, would you please bow with me in prayer? Dear gracious God, we are so thankful to be able to come to your house to worship and praise you this morning. Bless each one here and be with those who cannot be here today. May our worship service be a blessing to all. May we feel your presence and be uplifted. Lord, in a world filled with uncertainty, chaos, threats of war, may your light and love prevail. Strengthen our faith and give us courage to let your light shine through us so others may know your love. We ask this in your name. Amen.
If the ushers will come forward then, we'll give our offering to the Lord's work. Healing, may our gifts be used to heal. As your sacrifice brought us salvation, may our sacrifice be used to save. As your offering feeds our souls, may our offering feed the hungry. As you willingly give yourself, may we give faithfully of ourselves. Amen. Would you join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
First of all, I am not Pastor Ben. Surprise! He is still on vacation. I don't know where he went. I don't know what they're doing, but I hope he's resting and relaxing and rejuvenating so he is ready to come back and be God's hands and God's feet. Yes. Second of all, that fish fry for Friday night, I think my husband and I'll be here. So we came last year and it was very good. I gotta tell you, you might find a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in my pocket because I'm not a big fish lover, but last year I did eat some. So don't be patting me down. You might find the peanut butter and jelly. This morning's scripture is from the book of Jonah, and I will be reading chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, and then carrying on chapter 2, verse 10, through chapter 3, verse 2. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own god. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he laid down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell to Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country, and from what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. And at this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Continuing on with chapter 2, verse 10. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, I pray that you quiet my anxieties. I'm a little all over the place this morning. Everything that is done in this worship service is all for your glory and your honor, Lord, and that is why we are here to worship. Let me be your vessel. Let me be your instrument with these words that you have laid on my heart, Lord. And if for something that I say that's not right, allow those words to be forgotten as quickly as they are heard. In your name I pray. Amen. It's been a little bit since I have been here, so I thought I would start with a little bit of who I am and where I come from. I've already been introduced, as well as my husband Dale. I call him Driver Dale. He gets me where I need to go on Sundays where I'm doing pulpit fill. We have already been to Otterburn this morning and all the way over to Oxford. I'm like, "Are you sure you don't need me to bring up Google Maps? Are you sure you know where you're going? Because..." But he did not need it. He got me right here. He does a great job. We are lifelong residents of Remington, Indiana, and we have been married almost 34 years. Our regular place of worship is Mount Gilboa United Methodist Church. In our first careers, I was a court reporter in Jasper County, and my husband was a seed tech with DeKalb. DeKalb then becomes Monsanto. Monsanto then becomes Bayer Crop. And we were both in those jobs for over 30 years. Several years ago, I needed a change. I was burnt out. The position of clerk treasurer for the town of Remington was open about 7-8 years ago, and I submitted a letter of interest and was elected. I really enjoy working for and serving my little town. So the lady that talked about it being professional administration day this Wednesday, remember those people that work in your utility office because they work hard too. A few years ago, Dale was also burnt out and growing and processing seed corn. You know, getting bought out or taken over by a company and then getting bought out or taken over by a much bigger company is not always what it's cracked up to be. So in spring of 21, he became the head of the street department for Remington, and now he works for our parks department. We have both been blessed by these employment changes God provided. We have three children, all grown and flown from our nest. We have six grandchildren, ranging in age from 22 to 6. And I don't look old enough to have a 22-year-old, I know, but grandchild, but we do. Our youngest son has a grand dog, and he tells us that's it, so we might be done with grandchildren. We enjoy spending time with our kids and our grandkids, and we really enjoy when they go back home and the house is quiet again. Now, you might all be sitting there thinking, okay, this is all very nice. How does this tie in with Jonah being swallowed up by a big fish? I'm getting there. Just hang with me. 7 years ago, I heard about a lay speaker class, and my interest was piqued. I signed up for the class, and I traveled to Bethlehem United Methodist Church in 12 Mile, Indiana. Anybody heard of that? Oh, a few of you. Okay. It was an all-day Saturday plus a Sunday afternoon class, and it was a long drive, and I mean a long drive on State Road 16. If you have ever traveled on State Road 16, you know that it is not the best road in places. While I was there, I met new friends who shared my interest in learning more about God's Word, and thus began my long journey to become a certified lay speaker. The scripture that I use today, I'm sure we all know well. Jonah didn't obey or listen to God. In fact, in the first chapter, God tells Jonah to go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against the things that are going on in Nineveh because of its wickedness. I didn't know a lot about Nineveh before I wrote this message, and I like to have a picture in my mind of what I'm talking about. So I did what we do today. I Googled it. Nineveh today is known as Mosul, and it was the capital of Assyria. It is bordered by the Tigris River. The Assyrians were notorious for their cruelty and their idolatry. There were many temples in Nineveh, and it was known for its great wealth, power, and prestige. And so now you see a little bit better why God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. Our scripture is about how God tells Jonah to go to the great city of Nineveh to preach against it because all their wickedness had come before God. And what does Jonah do? Jonah hightails it out of here and runs in the opposite direction. He heads for Tarshish. He gets on a ship in Joppa, and God sends forth a great storm from the sea. The boat is tossed to and fro, and the sailors all become very frightened. They started throwing the cargo overboard that the ship was carrying, hoping that lightening the load would save them. But the storm pursued. The captain finds Jonah downstairs, asleep. He's asleep, and this raging storm is going on, and this boat is tossing sideways, probably forwards, backwards, any direction you want to go. While this raging storm is going on, through a process of elimination, everyone on the ship figures out Jonah is responsible for this raging storm. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 12, Jonah tells them, and I'm paraphrasing, "Hey, throw me overboard. I know this is my fault. If you throw me overboard, the sea will calm and you'll be able to travel on your way safely." And we all know that the sailors finally cried out to the Lord to not hold it against them, and they hurled Jonah into the sea. Then Jonah is swallowed by a big fish. Some versions of the Bible say whale. Do you think God got Jonah's attention maybe just a little bit? So this is where my story picks back up. You see, when I went to that first class 6 years ago at Bethlehem UNC, traveling all those miles on a not-so-great State Road 16, I learned that if I took the beginner class plus one more class, I would be a certified lay servant. Okay, that's pretty cool. I have no idea if I need this. I have no idea if I want to do this. So I stuck the information in the back of my head for later. Then I learned if I take six classes, pass a background check, go through an interview, and get presented and approved by the Board of Laity, I could become a certified lay servant. And then I slammed on the brakes. I don't mind taking classes, but no thank you to the interview part. It's not me. It's not for me. I'm just going to pass. But I kept taking those classes. I didn't actually take the six I needed for certification. I took classes on topics that were interesting to me or that maybe I wanted to learn more about. And each time they would talk about what you need to become a certified lay servant and a certified lay speaker. And each time I heard that spiel, I kept my foot firmly planted on the brake pedal. I even had a conversation, many conversations with God. Hello, God, this is Terry, buddy. You know that I really don't want to go through an interview. I'm okay with taking the classes. I even enjoy the homework. I read the books. I participate in class. I'm just going to pass on this lay speaker certification thing. Nope, no interview for this girl. I had that conversation with God many, many times. Me, telling God how I was planning my life and what I was willing to do and what I was not willing to do. Do any of you do that? Have any of you done that? A little bit. You know what? Thank the Lord I did not end up in the belly of a big fish or a whale. God had already put his plan into motion. I just needed to listen and follow his plan. He kept working on me, chiseling away at my foot on the brake attitude, a little bit at a time. Jeremiah 29:11, one of my favorite scriptures, says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And some versions it may read, "plans for good and not evil." Did you notice that it was the Lord that was declaring those statements? I do not see Terry Buddy's name in there anywhere. Several years ago, our little church, Mount Gilboa, was without a pastor for a good while, and we were struggling to find someone to fill in. You see, Mount Gilboa is kind of in the middle of nowhere, has a Fowler mailing address, but it's just a little country church sitting on a hill. And sometimes in the mornings when you're walking out there up the hill for worship, you can hear the roosters crowing. Not many places you hear that. There's a few houses around it, and there's lots of farmland, but it's a pretty desolate area. I'm going to guess it's not on the top 10 list of churches someone would want to be assigned to. And it was then that God hit me over the head with a 2x4, and I finally listened. I listened to God's plan for me. I stopped telling God what I thought the plan should be and allowed him to lead me through this process. I prayed for guidance and direction, much like Jonah prayed to God inside the big fish in chapter 2. Now, Jonah needed a miracle of deliverance to get him to do what God had commanded him. As a prophet, Jonah was obligated to obey God's word. But he tried to run from his responsibilities. I asked for forgiveness for not following God's plan, and I thanked him for never leaving me when I kept my foot on the brake and I turned the radio up just a little louder so I couldn't hear him. So I started taking more classes, classes that I thought were the six that I needed to become certified. I have finally figured out what I'm supposed to do, and I can't get there fast enough. 2 years ago, I think I'm down to about one class left, and I have got this. Thank you, Lord, for leading me. The end is in sight, and I can see it. And I reach out to Lynn Nelson, our district lay superintendent, and I ask her about this one class to see if it's going to be offered soon, because I am ready to complete this. I'm ready, I'm focused, and after checking her records, I found out that several of those courses that I thought were among the six I needed weren't the classes that I needed. They were close. They were very, very close. But they didn't count towards my certification. Lynn was very quick to encourage me to think of all that I had learned and the fellowship that I got from each class. And yes, that is true. I made many friends. But I thought I was almost finished with these classes. And then all sorts of doubt began to creep through my mind. But God, I listened. I finally listened to you. I followed your plan. I think I did. Is this not what you want me to be doing? Is this not the path I should be on? Where do you want me serving, and what am I supposed to be doing? Ugh. And out of the blue, Lynn contacts me, which was totally a God thing. And I pour out my heart to her. I'm not sure if this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and how do I figure that out? I'm listening, but I'm not hearing anything. I'm also not the most patient person in the world, so maybe I didn't listen long enough. And Lynn tells me, it's not a race. It's a journey. Very simply, it's not a race. It's a journey. Those words have stuck with me since the day she said them. I've reflected on those words many, many times as I worked through taking all of the classes that I needed for my lay speaker certification. So if we refer back to our scripture in chapter 3, we see that God gives Jonah a second chance. God tells him to go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim the message he had previously given to Jonah. And if you read on and finish the book of Jonah, and it's not real long, it would be a nice afternoon read, you will see that Jonah, this time, obeys God and fulfills God's mission. The Ninevites responded to God's message, and they escaped destruction. And as for me, as of June of 21, I completed all of my classes and I passed my background check. I went through my interview, even though I was still dreading it, but I know I was following God's plan. This is my second chance. And I know that he carried me through that interview, allowing me to speak the words that he laid on my heart. Never in a million years would I have ever thought I would be standing up here preaching God's message. This was not me. This was not on my radar. But I get such a joy out of this. I know it is where he wants me serving, and that is such a blessing to me. So what do I want to leave you with? A few things. First, if you like learning, I strongly encourage you to take a lay speaker or a lay servant course, and there are lots of topics. The basic course is a good one to start out with, and it's very informative, but that's not a hard and fast rule that you have to start with that one. Most classes are being offered through the conference, in person or online, wherever you feel more comfortable and safer attending. Second, what has God, or what is God, telling you to do? If he has told you to do something and you ran the other way, like Jonah, or you tried to make your own plan, like me, ask God for a second chance. If he is telling you to do something, be in prayer and conversation with him about whatever it is. Lastly, always remember that if he brings you to it, he will see you through it. He didn't leave me as I walked into the room for my interview. And he won't leave you after telling you to do something that he needs done. Amen. Before the benediction, I want to thank you all for being so welcoming. It's a little difficult to walk into a new church and you're taking over for the pastor for a Sunday. I thank Pastor Ben for thinking of me and asking me to serve here. I thank Teresa and I thank, Shirley? Was it Shirley? Yes. Woo, I remembered. For helping me through the service this morning. And each of you for being welcoming us through the door and handing us the bulletin. And just welcoming us. Thank you very much. I want you to go out and be God's hands and feet this week. And it sounds like with a big fish fry coming up, you have that opportunity. Make a dessert. I have no idea what else there is to do, but maybe you could take money. Maybe you could clean a table. I don't know, but there are things that you could serve your community. Listen to what he is telling you to do. Don't be a Jonah and run the other direction. Abba, Father, open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to feel what your plan is. We thank you for never leaving us, no matter what. Amen, and have a blessed week, everyone.